Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I feel like we should do top five, bottom five coming up with this intro. But it's actually from 2010 on a Throwback Thursday. On this date, Armando Galarraga in 2010 had a near-perfect game. Ruined by Jim Joyce. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight. Golden State hosting Boston in game number one. For Golden State, a familiar sight. Six times in the last 8 years, they've been in the finals. Bonte Hill joins us, 95.7, the game in San Francisco on a progressive guest line. How are you, Bonte? Thanks for joining us, as always.
Oh, man, I'm so fired up. The finals are finally here. Game one, finally here tonight. I can't wait.
All right, let's talk about this Golden State team, because here we are again, six times in the last 8 years. They don't have Kevin Durant on this team, but how similar is this team to what we saw in, like, 2015 when they first emerged on the scene?
Good question. It's not that similar to 2015 because 2015, you had a lot of veterans on that team. 2015, you had Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa, Maurice Spates. This team right here was a developmental team. They tried to contend for a championship while also developing young talent. Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, the ascension of Jordan Poole, James Wiseman waiting in the wings as he was hurt all season long. So, yeah, it's similar to 2015 because they don't have Kevin Durant. That's the only similarity here. And, of course, the core with Curry, Clay, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr. But Looney wasn't around. Iguodala hasn't contributed much to this team this season. So it's really a different team. It's not even a 2015-like run because they won 67 games in 2015. I mean, they blew away the league. They were the top seed in the league. They win 67 games. Of course, they win the NBA Finals. We had no idea. There were people thinking this team would lose in the first round because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
Remember, Steph last 12 regular season games. The last 12. So, this team started gelling in the postseason. They used the postseason to gel. So, I think it's pretty different. This team is pretty different than what they had in 2015.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't feel like a surprise, but during the regular season, what was the state of the team and what was the outlook of the team? Because they couldn't get all three guys on the court at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know, they got off to the monster start, 18-2, right? So they get off to the hot start. And really, the expectations got raised there. So I remember doing shows in August, and I'm saying, you know, if Clay is Clay, Wiggins is playing well, this team maybe could be a top four team in the Western Conference to contend for a Western Conference championship. But the outlook was so murky during the season because when Clay got back, Draymond gets hurt, Steph Curry starts slumping, then Jordan Poole goes back to the bench, he lost his rhythm. Andrew Wiggins had a horrendous February, one that we all like to forget. And so it was a roller coaster ride with this team all throughout the regular season. Yet they won 53 games, and the whole talking point when they entered the playoffs, if they're healthy, they're going to be tough to beat four times in seven games. They're going to be tough to beat, but they have to be healthy, and they've gotten healthy at the right time.
Boston is very successful as you can get against a Steve Kerr team. They're 9-7. Yet they only play twice a year, both different types of schedules, big road trips. It's not a consistency thing. They're not in the same division, so they don't play a lot. Is there something about that record, though, that we can take out of it for this series?
You know, I really don't think we can. You know, a lot of people cited Memphis beating the Warriors three or four games this season. Didn't matter. The Nuggets beat the Warriors three or four times in the regular season. Didn't seem to matter when the Warriors ousted them at five. Dallas Mavericks beat the Warriors three out of four and had a lot of success over the last three to four seasons against Steve Kerr to go to State Warriors. Didn't seem to matter in the Western Conference Finals. And so when you look at the 9-7 record, take into account the Warriors won 15 games a couple years ago, right? They had nobody on the floor. Last year, it was Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, but you had a lot of role players on that team thrust into starting roles. I don't think you can put too much stock into the record. Now, I will say, Boston has brought it when they've come to the Bay Area and vice versa with the Golden State Warriors. going out to Boston. They put on some thrilling, thrilling matchups on Saturday nights, Friday nights. So, look, the record is the record. I wouldn't put too much stock into it. It's just about the matchup. These two teams match up really well against each other, so including these two regular season games this year. The Warriors beat Boston in Boston. They had no Clay. They had no Poole. Boston was a completely different team at the time. I think there were three games under 500 or 14-15, 14-17, something like that. And they didn't have their Clay. They didn't have a Derek White. You know, Robert Williams wasn't roaming the paint like he usually was. So, you know, you got to throw the regular season records out the window.
All right, let's get to this team. And I want to ask you about Andrew Wiggins. Here's a former number one overall pick. Found his role with this Golden State team after arriving. How did this come together? Like, how did he adapt to what he is today, what his expectations were when he was with Minnesota?
It's culture. It's all about culture, right? I know it's a buzzword that everybody uses in sports, and it's a little overrated, a little overused, I should say. Look, he comes into a place to where he doesn't have to carry the franchise. In Minnesota, it was all on his shoulders, right? Number one overall pick. You got to help us get back to the playoffs. He's going to see double teams, triple teams. He was our number one scoring option. And scoring wasn't a problem for him. It was just that it came in volumes, right? 29 shots to score, 29 points. And at times, he looked disinterested because it was a losing culture, a losing franchise. He comes here to Golden State to the Bay Area. Obviously, Steph Curry is the face of the franchise. Then you have Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So the pressure to produce. Look, all they ask Andrew Wiggins is play defense at a high, high level. He's going to get opportunities to score here and there offensively, and he's still putting in 17, 18 points per game. And he's bought all the way in. Why? Because winning. Winning makes everybody smile. I've seen Andrew Wiggins smile more in the last week than I've seen him smile in 7 years in Minnesota. So it's culture, and it's the pressure of not having to do too much. The Warriors have made it really easy for him. Hey, you're going to be in the corner. You're going to get wide-open three-point opportunities because of the gravity of Stephen Curry and somewhat the gravity of Klay Thompson when he's coming off the screens. And then when Jordan Poole comes into the game, he can be the primary playmaker, and Andrew Wiggins can still play second fiddle to Jordan Poole. So the pressure's not on him to score 30 a night like it was in Minnesota. And when you win, everybody's smiling. You hear Jordan Poole. They ask him, you know, what is the number one thing you've learned this postseason, or what is the number one thing you've learned this year? He goes, it's all about winning. Yeah. Not about coming off the bench, not about starting, not about scoring 40. It's about winning. And Andrew Wiggins has bought all the way into that.
Bondale joins us 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on Golden State as we get ready for game one of the NBA Finals tonight. So we talk about the Celtics defense. We talk about Golden State's offense. What about the defense for Golden State? How good is it? How important is it going to be in this series?
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors do a really good job of taking away your ancillary pieces. So, look, Luka Doncic got his numbers, but it came at a high value. You know, he was taking 26 shots to score 30. The Warriors will take that all day long. Jokic, you knew he would dominate with the Denver Nuggets, but they shut everybody else down. Memphis, Ja Morant's going to get his, but can you shut down the Desmond Baynes, the Dylan Brooks, the Jaren Jackson Jr.? So, look, Wiggins is going to draw the assignment on Jason Tatum. You don't stop a Jason Tatum. You just don't. He's a star. Matter of fact, he's a superstar. And he's going to take the torch and be in the face of the league one day. He's really that special. Jaylen Brown, as a number two option, is a dynamic player. So what do? You make it hard for them. You show them double teams. You play some zone. You show some single coverage. You try to mix it up defensively against those two guys. And then you take something away. All right, if Jason Tatum's going to score 30, I need to take away his playmaking ability. That's what the Warriors do so well. They take away something from these superstars, just like Luka. Okay, Luka, you're going to shoot the ball. You're going to score. We're going to take away your passing, your assists. Same thing they did with Jokic in the first round. Jokic, the assist numbers were not high because they made him just a primary scorer, and they lived with him being a scorer and not a playmaker. So it's all about just taking something away from these superstars and throwing them different looks, and the Warriors do that so well. They'll drop into a zone. They'll play man. They'll double. They really play well defensively, and they communicate really well at courts. That all starts with Draymond Green and also at the point of attack with Andrew Wiggins. So they're also going to get a big boost this series with Gary Payton II. Gary Payton II coming in this series. He's a guy who can maybe defend Jaylen Brown and really force Jaylen Brown to try to put the ball on the floor to where Gary Payton II is really good at swiping away basketballs and coming up with steals. So the Warriors are no slouch on defense. They also box out really well. You know, a lot of people say, man, they're a small team. But, man, the Warriors out-rebounded the Memphis Grizzlies in 5 of the 6 games. They out-rebounded the Dallas Mavericks in every game of the series, except for game number 4. So they're really good defensively, and they talk and communicate a lot.
We've been talking about Steph Curry, and we've been doing the larger picture thing with him in terms of where this kind of the stratospheric level he is right now and how he's changed the game. And that's from the outside looking in. You're in the nucleus of the Steph Curry world in San Francisco. What is your perspective on what he's meant not only to the league, the Golden State Warriors, and the basketball in that area where you live?
Well, the Golden State Warriors were an afterthought franchise. They were decrepit before Steph Curry came. Let's put the rat on the table. They were a moribund franchise. All right, they had made the playoffs one time from '94 to 2013. One time they made the playoffs. Think about that. In the NBA, where 16 teams make the playoffs a season, 8 in each conference, they made it once in 2007 with the We Believe team. Steph Curry flipped the entire franchise. I mean, this franchise, the value. Think about it. They got sold for $425 million to the Lakers and Peter Goobers of the world. Now they're worth over $5 billion. Why? Because of Stephen Curry. What he's done to lift this franchise, to become an afterthought, to never have a primetime games, to now all of a sudden get all the national TV love, and what he's done to change the game of basketball, where all these people who think they can shoot threes can't really shoot threes, he's done that. So in this region, Steph Curry can do no wrong. Going to 6 NBA Finals? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares really about the finals MVP. Would we like to see him win it just to shut everybody up? Sure. We know he was the best player in 2015 in the finals. So what, Andre Iguodala got the award? Whatever. Nobody cares because he's hanging banners. 2 MVPs. What he does in the community. He can do no wrong right now. His legacy is cemented here in the Bay Area. And what he needs here is, like, he's now being compared to the great Joe Montana as the greatest pro athlete in Bay Area sports history. He's on about Rushmore with Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds. That's how we feel about Stephen Curry. He's our guy. He's been here forever. He's never leaving. And what he's done to lift this region and Warrior fans up. I didn't even know this many Warrior fans existed back in 2010. I'm no joke. Like, this guy's done everything for this franchise and much, much more. Win, lose, or draw in these finals. Steph Curry's legacy. Now, nationally, they'll be talking about something different. Locally, we know who Steph Curry is, and he's one of a kind, and we appreciate what he's done for this organization and this region.
Bonte, always good talking to you, my friend. Can't wait to talk to you about the Niners and when we get to that time of the year, my friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, Trey Lance season's coming, folks.
That's right.
A lot of people saying Trey Lance ain't ready. Got something else coming. Trust me. Trey Lance is going to blow everybody away. Good to talk to you again.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon. Bonte Hill, 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco on the Golden State Warriors. Love it. Love that guy. So fun. Hey, I can't wait for their previews when we talk Niners, Trey Lance. But right about Steph Curry. I mean, nationally is a different picture. He's right, right? Nationally is a different picture. Locally, of course, you know, you take the team that beat Dallas. Remember they were the 8 seed that beat Dallas? I think it was like 2006, I think. I'm trying to remember. Maybe no, 2007. I think it was the year after the Mavericks had won the championship, like 2007. That's it. And then Curry comes in, and he's right. It's now worth billions because of him. All right, we will have Brian Barrett on in Hour 3. We'll get the flip side of the finals tonight when we talk Boston Celtics. It's coming up in Hour 3. Good, the bad, and the dumb, 15 minutes away as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.